I have a client. He wants you to find someone for him.
How much do you know about Gina? Well, not less than I'd like to. She's my daughter.
Someone tried to kill me, Gina, the day after you walked into my life.
And this woman's got a file on me.
There's an email. Blackberry has swiped at the doctor's surgery.
Raise a glass of Coburn's on the 10th of July.
Did I tell you about the people who chase us out of there? Special forces types.
I retired a couple of years.
Before I pack it in, I'm the clue of the Braddock case.
Michael's been arrested. He was caught with drugs.
What do we want to achieve?
The end of Brian Worsley.
Right, there's a bloke called Dean Stubbs wanting to follow him wherever he goes.
Don't come to Paris, Mr. Van.
My train gets in at 8:05 with the guard, you know, you'd be there to meet me.
Hello?
Hello, Harry.
Hillman.
Did you kill Stevie?
It was an help desk job.
That virus has been successfully cleansed.
Thank you.
You let the girl go.
She's the one they want dead.
The second gunman shoots Hillman and he drops to the ground. Philip Glenister. Hidden. The masked gunman stares at Harry and Gina with a piercing gaze, then walks away from Hillman's body.
Shit.
Harry feels in Hillman's pockets.
Why didn't he kill us?
Tell me this, Gina. You have any idea it wants to kill you so badly, huh?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Whoever it is, you must have pissed them off real bad.
I said, I don't know.
What about the help desk? Why don't you try telling me something you do know?
I'm sorry.
Jesus.
They trace the sound of coughing to where Tanzia is slumped in the chair.
Jesus.
This is the man who murdered my mother, Mesoir Tanzir.
Steals.
Hey, what's he saying?
Steals.
Styles, not Steals, Styles.
Jason Steals.
How does he know about Jason Styles?
Hey, how do you know Jason Styles? Hey, how do you know about Jason Styles? How do you know? Translate, ask him, Gina.
Comment connaissez-vous Jason Styles? Vous m'entendez? Savez-vous où il est?
You mean this man? Yeah, you recognize him. Gina, translate!
Vous connaissez cet homme?
Him. Hey!
Harry puts the photo of Styles down, and Gina stares at it in horror. Tanzir loses consciousness, and Harry feels his wrist for a pulse.
He's dead.
Why would the man who killed your mother know about Jason Styles? Talk to me, Gina.
Where'd you get that photograph?
Your hotel room.
She tries to run, but he grabs her arm.
Tell me what's going on.
Gina! Jason Styles set my brother up! I've been looking for him for 20 years! 20 years, Gina! Now, what do you know about Styles?
What do you know about Hillman? Did you know he was still alive?
No. Before I met Stevie Quirk, I never heard of Paul Hillman. I never heard of Braddock. I never heard of your brother or you.
This is the help desk. May I have your client ID? Whiskey Bravo 08209. One moment, please.
Got a file on the Braddock case. Seen it.
Yeah, I put it together after Quirk asked me to find you.
Why? Why would you go to all that trouble?
I wanted to know who I was talking to.
This is bullshit. And when are you going to be straight with me, Gina? What are you doing in my life?
My parents were murdered 20 years ago, and I want to know why.
Your parents?
Yes.
Your mother and your father?
Yes.
Well, that's funny because I had lunch with your father this afternoon and for a dead man he looked very bloody well to me.
Nigel.
Yes, Nigel Fountain.
He's not my father. He became my guardian after they were killed.
You still haven't answered my question. What are you doing in my life?
20 years ago, Styles ordered the execution of my parents. A week ago, he hired Quirk to kill me.
I've been looking for Stiles all my adult life. We're looking for the same man, Harry.
Harry looks stunned.
We need to get out of here.
She strides away, and Harry lingers for a moment, taken aback by her revelation, before following her. They head out onto a wide, sunlit road, and she holds up her hand to hail a taxi.
Thank you for waiting. You are secure. How can we help? Status report. That program encountered a fatal error. We're now sending out more engineers to resolve the issue.
Harry and Gina get into a cab, then sit in tense silence, both apparently absorbed in their own trains of thought. Gina breaks the silence.
Quirk told me that you could find Joe Collins. Joe Collins has something belonging to Stiles.
It's a laptop.
Stiles wants it back. If we can get it before he does, we get Stiles. Rue de Grand Prairie, s'il vous plaît, le dixième.
So where are we going?
France.
Harry stares at her warily, then looks away. Night is falling when the taxi pulls up at the curb on a city street. Gina and Harry get out, then Gina crosses to a door and punches in a code on a panel. Harry stands behind her on the pavement.
Mr. Gina.
A woman opens her apartment door. The woman says, I'm so glad you are here. Gina replies, I had nowhere else to go. It's not a problem.
This is my friend Nadine. It's Harry.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Hello.
Nadine's an artist.
Really? So I don't mean to be rude, but do you think I could get a drink? A large one.
Est-ce toi quelque chose de fort?
Du vin, ça ira?
Wine?
Wine's great, thank you.
Nadine gives Gina a questioning look. Gina answers her phone.
Nigel?
Gina, thank God!
I've been so worried. Didn't you get my calls?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I've been busy.
But where are you?
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm in Paris.
Do you know this Harry Venn?
Yes.
So he's been trying to get in touch with you.
I know.
I've spoken to him.
Did he tell you Quirk was murdered?
Yeah. Nigel, please don't worry. I'm fine, really. I'm coming back to London tomorrow and I'll call you then.
You're sure you're all right?
Yes, really.
Please, be careful.
I will be. Don't worry.
Bye.
Sir Nigel ends the call, then looks pensive. Nadine asks Gina, are you all right? You both look stressed.
Ça va? Vous avez l'air stressé tous les deux?
We're all right.
Ça va, oui.
I'll leave you.
Je vous laisse. Merci.
Gina paces, her hands clenched in her hair, then sits down on the sofa. Harry pours a glass of wine and offers it to her.
No, thanks.
He sits down in an armchair and eyes her appraisingly.
What happened to your real father, Gina?
My father's name was Jeremy Hawkes. My mother was Jennifer Muscati. They were corporate lawyers. My mother was visiting a client here in Paris. She was killed in the street. By Ms. White Tanzir.
Tanzir stabs Jennifer.
A random murder by a petty criminal and drug user, according to the police. My father was on business in Brussels when he got the phone call from the police. He set off to Paris at once, but his car came off the road near Lille. An accident.
And you don't believe it was an accident?
No, I do not. Stiles ordered it.
Harry, we're so close to getting Stiles.
Harry sips his wine.
What's wrong?
Over 20 years, I wake up every morning and I say to myself, today's the day I'm going to get Jason Stiles.
And what stops you?
Fear. I'm afraid.
I don't think you are afraid of anything, Harry. Don't you want to know the truth about what happened to your brother?
What do they say? The truth sets you free. Well, in my case, the truth is going to send me to prison.
As he takes another sip, Gina leans forward.
What was Mark like?
Well, Mark was a bad boy. He was unpredictable. He was a thief. Couldn't believe a word he said to anybody. There was something about him. I wanted him to respect me the same way I respected him. But I never got the chance.
He has another drink. Later, he's removed his jacket and is sitting on the edge of a bed, looking deep in thought. He rubs his thumb along his bottom lip.
The room okay?
Yes, yeah, fine. Perfect, thank you.
Good night.
She kisses his cheek.
Gina.
Yeah?
How about if you stayed here with me?
She gives him a gentle smile.
No, Harry. Good night.
She walks away and he closes his eyes and sighs. He wearily rubs his forehead. London, and Frank is making his way along a dimly lit street. He passes a set of rickety wooden doors, then rings on a bell. He notices that the lock has been broken off and cautiously pushes the door open. He hesitantly starts to make his way up a curving stone staircase. Music filters down from the floor above.
Yes?
He takes each step with caution, looking unsure of whether to proceed. He makes his way to a landing where a bag of rubbish stands in the corner and the ground is scattered with pieces of broken furniture.
Kev?
A changing pattern of flickering light shines through opaque glass panels set in a door. Frank intermittently glances back over his shoulder as he moves along a hallway.
Kevin?
Kev is dangling from the ceiling by an extension cord wrapped round his neck. Frank races out. Daytime in Paris. Harry to Nadine.
Morning.
Bonjour. Do you want a café?
Yeah, coffee would be great. Thank you. Merci. Is Gina up? Gina, up yet?
Elle est repartie déjà.
Hey.
À Londres.
London? Well, she's gone to London.
Ouais.
Would she even know? Did she say anything?
No.
As Harry makes his way along a Paris street, he calls Gina. She's on a train. She looks at the display screen, but declines the call. She gazes out of the window with a frown furrowing her brow.
Thanks for the wake-up call.
James and Elspeth are dining at a vast country house estate.
Cometh the hour, cometh the man. Alex. How are the numbers shaping up?
153 confirmed. And rising.
There'll be even more after the press conference, double that at least. I think you'll like the coverage.
I have no doubt. These are Lee and Jeremy, my guardian angels.
So have there been threats?
Several, apparently.
That speaks well of you.
Thank you. Lunch is going to be served in a minute. It's all very informal. There's no standing on ceremony. You are here to meet Alex. Alexander Wentworth does not need an introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. He was elected to Parliament at the age of 24, and since then his rise has been nothing less than meteoric. He's earned the reputation as one of the finest debaters in the House and has already twice been named Parliamentarian of the Year. He's here to talk to us about the crisis. Alexander Wentworth.
Wentworth stands up.
Thank you. Our country is, I'm sure you'll be pleased to hear, currently mounting a very serious challenge to the world title record currently shared by Belgium and Iraq for not actually having a government. Belgium and Iraq, exalted company indeed. I've got some news for Brian Worsley. Just because you
Stiles steps into the room and gives James the nod.
To be Prime Minister, I'm sure most of us would agree, you should at the very least have a government to run, even if it's a bad one.
Elspeth looks slightly concerned as James excuses himself and heads out to join Stiles in the corridor.
She got away. I have the entire help desk focused on finding her.
She's proving very elusive.
The engineers weren't expecting Ben in Paris. He must have been armed.
You've been running the help desk for, what, 22 years now?
23. Ever since Teddy set it up.
It's difficult work, I know. It's messy, but Jason, this is very bad timing.
I know.
Everything's in play for tomorrow. Conditions are perfect. We have our man. Teddy taught us to play a long game, but if we lose this chance, we may never get another one. Find Gina Hawkes and Harry Venn and kill them.
Now, tomorrow I will go before the world's media to reveal the true, unscrupulous and shocking nature of Brian Worsley, the man and the politician. You'll understand that I can't give you specifics at this time, but I can assure you that come this time tomorrow, Brian Worsley will not, even in his own twisted mind, be able to call himself a Prime Minister.
James sits back down and gives Elspeth a knowing look. She nods almost imperceptibly.
We have to be fearless. We have to be thorough. And above all, we have to get it right.
James leads the applause.
Did I tell you that Tigger's on board?
Seriously?
I'll spare you the details of what I had to do to get him, but it turns out he's very keen on you, always has been, apparently.
You do know how boorish, bigoted, and how quite frighteningly reactionary Tigger is.
He completes the picture for a lot of my supporters.
It's all up to you now, Alex.
There was renewed unrest last night between police and rioters as the violence spread from the centre of the capital to residential areas. But the Prime Minister, on his way back from Hackney earlier today, insisted that the protests were nothing to do with the political instability at Westminster.
Sir Nigel is listening to the television report while reading paperwork.
They're not interested in politics. They just want a new television set and don't want to save up for one like the rest of us.
Well, that was the Prime Minister this morning, and I'm sure he won't be cheered by the news that's just come in. And I'm reading here from the newswires of the Press Association. When I tell you that Alexander Wentworth has announced he'll be holding a press conference tomorrow, at which he promises more scandalous revelations about the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister himself, back in Westminster this afternoon.
Sir Nigel glances out of the window, then dashes to answer the door. A little later, Gina is curled up on his sofa when he brings through a tray of tea things.
Sure you don't want something stronger?
He offers her a cardigan.
You are.
And what were you thinking of?
The man who murdered your mother said he'd meet you in an abandoned factory in the middle of nowhere, and you went. And you found him dead.
Dying. Someone clearly did not want him to talk to me.
You don't know that. There are lots of reasons why someone would want Tanzier dead. People like him. Lots of reasons. Lots of people.
Oh, thank you.
She puts down her saucer, then picks up the cup. Sir Nigel walks around the back of another sofa and pours himself a measure of whiskey.
You think I should go to the police?
I've never taken you seriously before. No reason they'll start now.
I'll just get in the way.
Of what?
Me. Finding out the truth, everything. Don't worry.
Don't worry. How can I not worry?
I'm sorry. You've been so understanding.
She rests her head on his shoulder and he kisses her forehead. She straightens up and sips her tea.
I suppose they could give you some protection, the police. I mean, you are in danger.
I should be safe here.
Well, yes, but if an armed man broke in here now, I certainly couldn't protect you against that. But there is someone I know, and obviously with your permission. Well, I'd like to talk to and get his advice.
Who is he?
He's called Christie. And I really think I should call him.
He gives her an encouraging smile and she sags with relief.
Yeah, all right.
Why don't you get some rest?
She nods and kisses him on the cheek, then starts to leave. She turns back and grabs some biscuits off the plate, then heads out, giving Sir Nigel a lingering and grateful look. He sips his whiskey, wearing a thoughtful countenance. Gina is lying in bed.
Mr. Christie? Nigel Fant?
Yes. I wonder, could you come over?
Gina closes her eyes, lulled to sleep by the ticking clock. Sir Nigel sips freshly poured coffee. Harry has arrived at a London train station and walks down an escalator. He walks across a street, then down a pavement with his hands in his pockets and a grim expression on his face. He reaches a door and bangs the knocker. His father, George, opens the door.
Well, I won't pretend this is a social call.
How much this time?
You still got that file on Mark you used to have. I wouldn't ask unless it was important, but I need to see it.
Why? You decided to do something after all these years?
George turns and walks away, and after a moment, Harry follows him. George looks him up and down.
You look terrible.
Well, I've had a rough few days. Did nobody tell you my office blew up?
Yeah. Were your clothes in there as well?
Your razor. I had a call from Lauren. Michael was in court this morning.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I'm sure you had better things to do. Where were you?
I was in Paris.
Oh, yeah, of course. Paris, yeah. Your boy's up in court, but you're in Paris. Have a good time, did you?
How'd he get on?
Juvenile court. They like to pretend it's all nice and friendly. But of course it ain't. Not when you're going away to get banged up. Remember what you looked like after a night in the cells, Harry, eh? That's the way Michael looked. He looked dirty and sweaty. He looked tired and confused and scared. You remember that feeling, Harry? So he looks round for a friendly face. He sees me. He sees his mum. And we smile at him. And then he says, Dad?
Did he get bail?
No. He was sobbing, Harry, when they took him back down.
I couldn't get there. There's things going on that... It's really complicated.
Maybe in my time I wasn't that great a father either. But any time you or Mark needed me, I came running, didn't I? Didn't I?
Yes, you came running. I'm gonna go and try and get to see Michael. I need Mark's file.
What for?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me?
Because... I think it would put you in danger.
This is new, Harry. Concern for someone else.
George shakes his head slightly, then gets up out of his chair and walks out, looking down at Harry in disgust as he passes by. As he makes his way to a chest of drawers in the hallway, Harry gets up and stares at a framed picture of Mark on the mantelpiece. In a flashback, a sheet is drawn back from his dead body. George's lips quiver with emotion as he stares down at his son. George takes a file out of a drawer, then starts shuffling back down the hall with it held in his hands. Harry joins him, and he hands it over without a word.
When you saw Mark's body, it was definitely him.
Jesus Christ, what are you asking me that for?
Was it Mark?
What are you on? Yes, it was Mark. You think I wouldn't recognise my own son?
What about Hillman?
What about him? That bastard. Never liked him. Never trusted him. You should never have let Mark go near him.
Mark was my older brother. He didn't listen to me.
You'd stuck by Mark. He'd still be alive today.
I'd stuck by Mark. We'd both be dead.
What's the difference?
George looks a little ashamed of his rash statement.
Did you see Hillman's body?
Yes, I saw it.
It was definitely him.
What the fuck?
Was it Hillman?
Yes, I saw him. Hillman, dead. I don't want you to come here again. Don't call me. I don't want to see you or talk to you ever again.
It was a pleasure, Dad. It was a pleasure.
George slams the door behind him. Harry gets a call.
Yeah?
Kev's dead.
Who?
Kevin, my computer guy.
You there?
Harry.
Yeah?
What the fuck have you got me into?
Where are you?
At the shop.
All right, stay where you are. I'm on my way.
Frank holds the phone receiver in his hand, then takes a deep drag on a cigarette. Harry walks alongside a tall brick wall, then breaks into a run before banging on a door. Frank lets him in.
What happened? Frank, what happened?
I couldn't get Kev on the phone, so I went round to his place last night. Apparently, he suddenly saw no good reason to carry on. I found him hanging in his living room.
You think he killed himself?
No, H, I do not. I think someone strung him up, and I think whoever it was did it because of our little visit to the doctor.
All right, listen, let me get on your computer.
Harry sits down at a computer displaying the BBC News website.
What are you doing?
Harry, what are you doing? Just give me a second, all right?
He runs a Google search for Jennifer Moscati.
Okay. Jennifer Moscati. Age 38, married, lawyer, high flyer.
Who's Jennifer Moscati?
Gina's mother. Victim of a street mugging in Paris.
Mugged? She was mugged?
And she was murdered.
Oh, shit.
Husband Jeremy Hawkes, also a lawyer. Killed in a road traffic accident near Lille. 8th of April 1989, same day the Braddock thing went down, same day that Mark was killed.
What the hell's going on, Edge?
Stevie Croak was murdered in Belmarsh yesterday. He was stabbed. You remember he told me that he'd seen Paul Hillman?
Yeah, I remember Stevie was a drinker and an idiot.
Guess who I saw yesterday? Paul Hillman. Frank, I like a drink as much as the next person, but it doesn't alter the fact that I saw Hillman, I talked to him, it was Paul bloody Hillman.
Hillman's alive. How is that possible?
It was alive. Somebody shot him.
Who? It's who shot him?
I don't know. He was wearing a mask.
Harry, I've been involved in some fucked up stuff, but this is fucked up. I need a drink.
You want to pour me one?
Frank takes down a bottle, then stares at it.
Coburn. Shift yourself.
Harry moves out of the desk chair and Frank takes his place.
What are we looking for?
Coburn. What's his first name? Teddy.
Who's Teddy Coburn?
Born Hereward, Yorkshire. Battle of Britain ace. After war, elected to Parliament. Went into business. Made his fortune.
Why are we looking at this?
There were photographs of this fella Coburn in the doctor's office.
So what do you say?
Bottle of Coburn's. I swiped the bottle from the doctor's office. Along with his BlackBerry.
We'll raise a glass of Coburn's on the 10th of July.
You got your email, you got your photographs, you got your bottle of Coburn's.
No. Look, he died in 1996. Teddy Coburn's not who we're looking for. Shoot yourself.
Matt's training at the boxing gym when Dean Stubbs arrives. Matt watches as Dean shakes someone by the hand. He has a brief conversation with the manager, then moves away. Matt turns his attention back to a punch bag. Dean makes his way along a road, carrying two bags of shopping. Matt is following at a discreet distance on the other side of the street. Matt ducks into a Chinese and takes a seat at a table by the window. He sees Dean ring a doorbell. Then the net curtain at an upstairs window is jerked back and a man looks down. The man comes outside and takes the bags from Dean, who then follows him in. Matt makes a call.
Oh man, no, don't go there. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, we've just seen Joe Collins. He's in an house off Tufnell Park Road.
Right, don't let him out of your sight until I get there. And Matt,
you be careful.
Matt hangs up.
Frank, I need your car.
I'm coming with you.
No, I need you to stay here and do something for me. Can you get me a gun? What?
That's just never a good sign when your lawyer asks you for a gun.
Stay here,
See if you can get a number for Ben Lander.
Frank, I'll be in touch.
He rushes off.
Oh, fuck!
Harry's been looking up stories describing Ben Lander, the nephew of Braddock, as a hero. In the city, a man standing over a table with two colleagues looks up and sees Elspeth crossing an open plan office floor.
Give me a minute, will you?
Who wrote this letter?
Elliot.
Get him.
Ask Elliot to join us, would you?
Sit, please.
A story about Elspeth's attack by the mob.
Outrageous. What happened yesterday? You okay?
A man with slicked back hair joins them.
Are we Brian Worsley's fan club now?
No.
Then why does this read like a fanzine? The Prime Minister is a disaster. Thanks to him, we've had 2 weeks without a proper government. The pound is falling through the floor, and as I discovered for myself yesterday, there are mobs rioting in the streets. Not to mention the 9 million that Worsley's managed to accumulate for himself in various offshore accounts. Perhaps you're planning on running his defence campaign for him when he's finally arrested.
We may have been a bit overgenerous towards Worsley, but Elspeth, we have talked about this. We cannot run...
The Prime Minister has a lot to answer for. But the responsibility for the pound's woes cannot be laid at his door. How do you justify this statement?
Talk to anyone in the city. They'll tell you it's not Worsley, it's the speculators.
Do you think I don't speak to people in the city? Brian Worsley is, if in name only, Prime Minister. This mess is his responsibility, and our readers need to understand that.
Of course.
Tomorrow, Alex Wentworth will be appearing at a press conference. My understanding is that he's going to make new allegations against Worsley, which he won't survive. We need Wentworth all over tomorrow's paper. Profile, pictures. He's got young children, very pretty wife, lots of nice family photographs. Full page leader. Alexander Wentworth, the man of the hour.
Wentworth doesn't have anything like enough cross-party support to put a coalition together.
After tomorrow's press conference, he'll have more than enough support.
Elspeth walks out, then he's talking on the phone.
No, don't worry, James. I've got it in hand. There'll be blanket coverage of the press conference across RDO Media. Breaking news, schedule interrupted, the full works. It'll be unmissable and very dramatic.
It's been a long slog, but we're nearly there, Elspeth. Just a shame Teddy isn't here to see it all come together.
Yes. He would have been very proud of you.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you.
He'd have been proud of both of us.
Yes, I think he would.
Elspeth ends her call to James. Matt's watching the house. Someone approaches when his head's turned the other way.
You've got the time.
Dean punches Matt, knocking him to the ground, then jogs away. Harry drives up and sees Matt on the floor. Matt manages to get to his feet. Harry gets out of the car.
You all right? What happened?
Someone jumped me. It's the house over there.
They cross the road. Harry smashes a glass pane with his elbow, then gingerly reaches through to unlock the door catch. Matt follows him inside and they trudge up a staircase. They reach a door which is standing ajar. Harry pushes it open further, then steps into a seedy-looking room with mess covering nearly all the surfaces. Harry moves through a living room and into a bedroom with a broken mirror on the wall. Some lads' mags litter the unmade bed. Matt is following him cautiously.
You sure it was Joe Collins?
Yeah. He used to come in the office a lot when he was up on that drugs charge.
What about who jumped you?
It's Ian. Sorry.
You got anyone you can stay with? Abroad.
Abroad? Got a brother who married an Irish girl. Living in Donegal.
You get on with him?
Yeah.
Good. Go and stay with him.
What's going on, Harry?
You don't come back till you hear from me. And if you don't hear from me, you don't come back at all.
Matt looks frightened. George opens his front door to Russell.
Detective Inspector.
I know who you are. What do you want?
I want to talk about your son.
Well, I don't want to talk to you.
I think he's in trouble. Serious trouble. I believe his life's in danger.
Thanks for the tip.
He needs help.
And you're offering?
If it helps me get to the bottom of something I want to know, yes.
No, thanks.
You've lost one son, Mr. Venn. Do you want to lose both?
Harry is with Michael.
So how are you holding up?
Michael shrugs.
What did you think you were doing?
The same thing you and your brother were doing at my age.
Yeah, we weren't going around selling crack. You want to end up the same way as Mark?
I don't want to end up like you.
What about your mother? You got any idea what you being in here is doing to her?
And how about you, tough guy? What's it doing to you?
Well, that depends on how you handle it. How are you going to handle it?
All right.
When you're in here, you don't trust anyone. You don't tell anyone anything you wouldn't tell a copper.
Excuse me, did I ask for your advice?
I'm just trying to help you, Michael.
Why start now?
You know you might end up doing time. Are you prepared for that?
Thanks very much. What are you telling me that for?
Because you need to hear it. You need to know what to expect in here. So while you're in it, you keep your head down. Like, you watch, you listen. You work out who's who and how things work out. You make sure that they know you can't be pushed around, even if it costs you time in solitary or the odd beating. You stand your ground, Michael. Michael, stop crying. You stop. Michael, you don't let anyone see you cry.
Why? Men not supposed to cry.
No, they don't. Not if they're going to survive in here. Listen, there are some things. Well, you just have to see them through to the end. Well, that's all you can do.
As the other prisoners and visitors make their goodbyes, Harry and Michael stare at each other for a long moment. Harry suddenly stands up and turns away.
Dad!
Harry looks back.
You stand your ground, son.
Harry walks away, and a guard comes over to get the teary Michael up from his seat and out of the room. Harry walks along a pavement, wearing a stern expression. Frank is sitting outside, smoking a cigarette. Harry takes a call from George.
Thought we weren't going to speak again.
I had another visitor after you left. Russell.
What did he want?
He says you're in danger, are you?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
He says he thinks the man who ordered the Braddock hit wants you dead.
Any truth in that?
Could be.
Give me a number for you. Do you want it?
Why don't you text it to me?
I wouldn't call him unless you're desperate. He's after you. I saw it in his eyes. Take care.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
Harry joins Frank.
How's the boy?
He's not doing too good.
Ah, don't worry. Nothing like the threat of being raped to toughen you up. Bad joke. Lander's number.
What did you get?
Browning 9mm. 38.
Best I could do at short notice.
You know, you can get life if you get caught with a gun.
I know. I could lose a life if I'm cool without one.
Harry calls the number on the piece of paper Frank has given him.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Am I speaking to Ben Lander?
Who's speaking?
I'm a solicitor.
A solicitor? What firm?
Venn and Company. We're in London.
What can I do for you?
I wonder if it would be possible if I could come and see you.
About what?
It's something I'd like to discuss with you in person. It is quite urgent.
When would you like to come?
Tonight, if possible.
All right. Will you be coming alone?
Yeah.
Let me give you the address. Do you have a pen?
Yes, I do.
Ash House. It's on the A257, just west of Sandwich Bay.
Okay, thank you. I'll find it.
Ben Lander, a dark-haired man with stubble on his chin, hangs up the phone and turns his wheelchair to face a large window.
He's still living in the same house.
Hitch, tell me you're not serious.
Deadly bloody serious. Braddock House is where it all started. I'll drop your car off when I get back.
I'm coming with you.
You don't have to do that, Frank.
I want to make sure I get my car back, Harry.
Both men get in the car.
Besides, you got me out of a few scrapes in the past.
Forgetting about the two times you went down.
There was three. Who's counting?
Harry rapidly reverses the car and sets off down the road. Gina is asleep in her bed at Sir Nigel's house.
Gina?
Yes?
Mr. Christie's here.
I'll be right there.
Okay.
Rumours are circulating in Westminster about just how damaging the material Alexander Wentworth is promising to reveal will be to Prime Minister Brian Worsley.
Gina heads into the sitting room and Sir Nigel turns off the television. Mr. Christie stands up and she recognises him as Jason Stiles.
Gina, this is Mr. Christie. Mr. Christie, this is my daughter, Gina Hawkes.
Miss Hawkes?
She's been through quite a lot today. And we have reason to believe her life is in danger.
Can you tell me about it?
I'm afraid we can't go into details just yet.
I understand. I assume that the people who pose this threat to Ms. Hawkes are aware of this address.
Well, apparently not.
Even so, I think the first step is to take Ms. Hawkes to a safe house until we can identify and then neutralize the threat.
What do you think?
Yeah, just give me a minute to freshen up.
Of course.
Gina heads out and Sir Nigel and Stiles share a look. Gina walks along a corridor and up a couple of steps into a kitchen where she pauses, looking frightened and confused. Stiles takes a couple of paces, then gets a call on his phone.
Excuse me. Hello?
Let me speak to him.
It's for you, sir.
Stiles passes the phone to Sir Nigel.
Hello?
Nigel.
They're trying to kill her.
It was a cock-up, Nigel.
Since when does the help desk make cock-ups?
It's like any organisation, there are occasional mistakes, but the point is the mistake has been rectified.
Mr. Stiles will take Gina to a safe, comfortable place.
And she won't be harmed. I have your word.
I know how much she means to you, Nigel. You have my word. It'll be for a day or two only, then it'll all be over.
I'm trusting you.
You've done the right thing, protecting her from herself. Put Mr. Stiles back on, would you?
Thank you. Yes?
Kill her.
Understood.
Stiles slips the phone into his pocket.
Where is she?
Stiles and Sir Nigel head out into the corridor and stride along it, looking from side to side. They reach the kitchen and see a net curtain billowing at the open window. Gina has climbed out of it and is running along the street, past white buildings with black front doors and iron railings. She reaches a relatively busy area and crosses the road at some traffic lights. She pauses, looking around in bewilderment. Harry is on the road, with Frank in the passenger seat.
Guess who signed Mark's death certificate? Dr. Duncan Sturgis, you remember him?
What kind of doctor is he if he can't even tell if you're alive or dead?
Gina.
Harry, are you in London yet?
Thank you for finally returning my call.
Are you in London?
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. Can you come get me?
You're not in trouble, Gina. You are bloody trouble. No, sorry, I'm busy.
Listen, Harry, I've just seen Jason Stiles.
Where are you?
I'm outside Harrods.
Okay, I'll be there in about 10, 15 minutes.
What's going on now?
Slight detour.
Gina waits impatiently on the pavement. Harry puts on his indicator light.
Okay, there she is.
He does a U-turn, and Gina hurriedly jumps into the back seat. He's already pulling away as she closes the door.
What's with the disappearing act in Paris, Gina? Don't you trust me or something?
I'd say the answer to that is no.
Who's he?
He's a friend.
Is he trustworthy?
I don't know, should we ask him? Are you trustworthy?
Fuck you.
Yeah, there you go, he's trustworthy. Where'd you see Stiles? Where?
At Nigel's house.
Nigel's house?
I told him we'd have it in Paris. He called someone to protect me, introduced him as Christie, but it was Stiles.
You sure it was him?
Yes, sir.
You think Nigel knew who he was?
I don't know.
He's involved.
Fields separated by hedges slope down to a stretch of river. Harry is driving along a wide lane. He pulls up at the curb and has a flashback to parking a car in the exact same spot on the day of the Braddock murder. He looks along the curving driveway of Ash House.
Okay, this is it.
He remembers Mark and Hillman walking along the drive carrying weapons, then Hillman shooting his shotgun inside the house and at the police officers. Mark and Hillman approach the car, wreathed in gun smoke.
You sure you want to do this, Edge?
I'll come too.
No.
No.
Want to take a piece?
Why has he got a gun?
I asked him for one. This feels wrong.
I wouldn't go into that house without a gun, Harry.
In a flashback, Hillman shoots Lander. Having handed the gun back to Frank, Harry gets out of the car and starts down the driveway. Frank and Gina share an uneasy look. As Harry rounds a bend and disappears behind a hedge, his actions echo those taken in the past by Hillman and Mark. Hillman pumps his shotgun as he nears the house. A buzzer sounds and the front door unlocks. Harry steps inside.
Hello?
Lander!
Harry stops in a doorway. Lander is sitting in his wheelchair and pointing a shotgun right at him.
Shoe's on the other foot now, isn't it?
I want to talk.
What would you like to talk about? You want to talk about the night your brother and his friend came to visit? Shall we talk about that? You know what the police told me when they found the two dead bodies in the car? There was a driver who got away. I wonder who the driver was. Who could it have been? Do you have any idea, Mr. Venn?
I'm sorry your uncle died. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for my brother and what he did here that night.
You were the driver. The police know you were the driver. They just couldn't pin it on you.
Somebody paid Paul Hillman and my brother to pull that trigger. Now, I'm just trying to find out why. I'm trying to find out why your uncle was murdered.
Look me in the eye and tell me you weren't the driver.
Harry averts his gaze.
What goes through the mind of the getaway driver while he's waiting outside?
Harry remembers waiting in the car.
Is he thinking, I'm glad I'm not in there, having to do what they do? Or is it, you know what? This is boring. Next time I'm going in myself. I want to see some blood. Oh, but I'm forgetting. You saw plenty of blood, didn't you?
Hillman shoots the two police officers, and one of them falls across the car bonnet right in front of the young Harry. He stares in horror as the corpse tumbles to the ground.
Mr. Lander, I just want to find out the truth. Please, just put the gun down.
Fuck you.
Put it down! I say, put it down, or I'll blow your head off.
Having been narrowly missed by Frank's warning shot, Lander slowly turns the shotgun side on and throws it on the floor.
Is that how you say hello to visitors? You shoot them? You want me to shoot you? Do you?
Frank!
Do you? Frank! It's enough! All right, now just put the gun down. All right, calm down. Calm down. Okay, no harm done, yeah?
As Frank goes to put the gun in his pocket, he realizes he's bleeding.
It's for your own age.
Next time.
Harry Venn and Gina Hawkes
broke into the Braddock house 20 minutes ago.
You take care of this problem, Mr. Stiles.
Can you help me out here, Harry? Can you?
Joe, where's the laptop? There are rules.
Rules?
Yes, rules that have to be observed. Wake up, Russell, you're a detective. This is all connected. The Braddock kid, Stevie Quirk, it all leads to here.
He's a good guy, Harry.
He's in serious trouble. Someone's trying to kill him.
Answers are on the way. The concluding part of Hidden is here next Thursday at 9:00.